Proverbs chapter 4. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 19, and I've entitled the message, Wrong Paths. Wrong Paths. A couple of boys were going camping. Their names were Todd and Fred, and they were young men. And Todd was driving the car. They're heading off to a camping spot, and Todd said, hey, listen, I know a shortcut to this campsite, and we're going to take this shortcut. We'll get there a lot faster. And so they got to the place and where they pulled off the road for the shortcut, and there was a big sign out over the shortcut road that said, road closed, do not enter. And Todd says, oh, they're just saying that. I know it'll go through where we're going. It'll be all right. I'm going to go anyway. And Fred says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. He says, yeah, come on. We're going to go. So he went around the sign and drove and drove and drove for several kilometers. And then they came to the river, and they got to the river, and the bridge is out. And he had no choice but to turn around and came all the way back. And when they got back to the main road, the big sign that was out there, on the back of the sign, somebody wrote on the back of the sign, welcome back, rebel. It's so often like us. We take the wrong path, and many times we do it on purpose because we're stubborn. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to follow the right path in life, because if we follow the right path in life, we'll stay out of a lot of problems and a lot of heartaches and a lot of troubles. And so tonight, as we look at this, Solomon's teaching his son about the right wrong paths to avoid. And last week, we looked at the right paths to take, the path of wisdom, but now he's saying, here's some wrong paths that I want you to stay off of and avoid. And he gives us, as we look at this section, he gives us, first of all, six warnings. Then he tells us some reasons for that. And then he makes a comparison between the right path and the wrong path. And so that brings us to these passages here tonight. So let's just read through these verses, and then I want you to refer to them as we work our way through it as well. Verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of the evil man. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining lightish, and that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the way of the wicked is a darkness, as they know not at what they stumble. All right, so he starts out here with six warnings. Warnings about the wrong path. And so as we look at this, first of all, right there in verse number 14, he starts out, do not enter. Do not enter. He says, enter not the path of the wicked. You can't get any clearer than that. He says, do not enter. And God makes it clear for us because he doesn't want us to go this route. He says, keep out. The wicked include, you know, when we think about it, he says, do not go into the path of the wicked. What does he mean by the wicked? You know, sometimes we read words like this and we kind of know and think, I know it's bad people. But when you look at the word and see what it's actually talking about, it gives us more information. It's not just talking about bad people. It literally is talking about guilty people, or it can even be as severe as criminals. He says, don't go in that path. It's going to lead you the wrong direction. It's going to take you the wrong way. And so he says, at first, you know, it may be those who we meet, people who are around, people that you know at school, people that you see at work, things of that nature, that, you know, they break some of the rules. They're disobedient to some of the orders they're given. Maybe they cheat a little bit or swear a little bit, or they lie or deceive or push the limits that they shouldn't do, and do things like that. And so these are things that are evidence of people who are not good people. They're wicked people that God describes here. And some wicked people are not so easily detected. You know, there are people who will lead us astray that are wicked people. You know, you go to a university and there's people at the university that their goal is to destroy the faith of any believers that are there. All right? They're there to destroy the faith of believers, and so they're capitalizing on teaching evolution, trying to drive that into the hearts of the young people that are there. You know, I read about one professor. He was talking to the students on the first day of class, and he said, how many of you are Christians? And there was a few, two or three sheepish ones that raised their hand. He says, by the time I'm done with you, you won't be a Christian anymore. And that was his goal. And so there's wicked people out there that are trying to deceive. Then there's wicked cult leaders that are sincere in their heart, but they're wrong. And they're trying their best to lead people their way. So there's all kinds of people out in the world that are wicked people. Some of them bad, bad people, like the criminals. Others are just bad influence on us. They may be people that are going to lead us in the wrong direction. They're going to hinder us and cause us to go astray. And so these are the wicked people. And he says, do not enter the path of the wicked. The psalmist, remember in Psalm 1:1, he gives us a similar instruction when he says there in Psalm 1:1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, don't walk in their way, don't stand in their way, don't sit in their way, stay away from them, really. So he's saying, do not enter the path of the wicked. If you ignore God's sign, do not enter the path of the wicked, we're heading for trouble. It'll lead us into trouble if we bypass that, just like that young man there went going camping. He drove right past that sign. Thought, well, I know better than that. I'll find a way. And you know, maybe you've done that. I can look back at some times that I've done some foolish things like that too. I said, well, it can't be that bad. It'll be all right. I remember one time, Melody and I were married, newly married, and we were going to my mom and dad's place, and that it snowed a lot the night before, a lot, and mom wrote us or called us and told us that so when you come to the house, make sure you drive into the other driveway. Don't drive in the regular driveway because the snow is far too deep. You'll never make it in. I thought, yeah, but mom, you don't know me. I'm a good driver. So I got there. I said, all right, hang on, honey. And I'm gonna, and we got about 3 meters in and it spun down and stopped. And mom come walking out of the house shaking her head and says, you don't listen. And it took me an hour or so to dig the car out and be able to get it back on the ground again. But, you know, that sometimes happens. We think we know better. And God says here, do not enter. Then notice what's the second thing he says there, verse number 14. He says, enter not. What's the second thing? All right, he says, go not in the way of evil men. Go not that way. So he says, don't go that direction. The idea here is, don't advance in that direction. Don't continue in that way. You've headed that way a little bit. Don't advance that way. It's not going to help you. It's going to lead you the wrong way. He says, don't go that direction. Then he tells us the third thing in the next verse. He says, avoid it. Avoid it. All right, now, here, it's the idea of to avoid literally means to let it go. Let it go. Don't enter that way at all. Now, you know, if a friend leads you the wrong direction, you need to let go of that friendship. And that's not easy. You know, especially for you young people. If one of your friends tries to lead you in a wrong direction or get you to do something you know isn't right, it's not easy to say, nope, I'm not going that way and I'm not going to be your friend anymore because you're going to lead me the wrong direction. That's hard. And it takes guts to do the right thing and stand up to a friend that's trying to lead you the wrong way. But those who do and stand up to them are going to be the winners. God says, avoid that way. You know, you think back in the Bible, back in Genesis chapter 6, and when God looked at the world in Genesis chapter 6, he said in verse number 5 that the imagination of their thoughts was only evil continually. But then we get down to verse number 8, and it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What made the difference? Noah said, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to follow the path everybody else is following. I'm going to be different. I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to listen to what everybody else is doing. And so Noah did what was right. He avoided that path. But then we find the next thing here in verse 15. He says, pass not by it. Pass not by it. The idea is to pass through it. It's to go just to check it out a little bit. You know how it might not be that bad. Let's just check it out and see if it's really as bad as they say it is. You know, when God says that we need to keep out, God means that we need to keep out. He doesn't want us to go check it out and see if it's as bad as it really is. You know, sometimes there's a temptation to watch something that you have been told isn't good. And you think, well, it probably isn't as bad as they're saying. I better just check it out to see. And then you get yourself watching something you shouldn't be watching or doing things like that. They'll get you in the wrong direction. So God says, don't go that way. Don't pass through that way. Stay away from it. Stay away from that area completely. Then he goes to the next phrase. He says, avoid it, pass by it, pass not by it, turn from it. Turn from it. The idea is to turn away. Turn away. Get out of there. Deviate your path. Change your direction. You know, if your friends are planning to do something that you know is wrong, God says the right thing to do is to leave them and go the other direction. Don't follow that way. It's difficult, but it's the right thing to do. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3. Very good verse to memorize. Proverbs 22:3. He says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. God says, if you're prudent, you'll say, I see something about this that just isn't right. Just like in our opening story there, Fred, he says, no, that's just that doesn't sound right. We shouldn't go around that sign. It says, do not enter, road closed, let's not go. And you know, his friend said, no, come on, we're all right. And you know, we've got to be wise, we've got to be prudent. He says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple, the foolish person, he passes on and ends up being punished. He says, let's just go, it'll be all right. And then he ends up getting in trouble. You know, as you think about Bible characters, Daniel. Daniel, when he was a teenager, was taken away from home, traveled those hundreds and hundreds of kilometers from Israel all the way up down the Euphrates River to Babylon. He gets down to Babylon. He's made a slave. He's made a eunuch. He's there in the palace of the king of Babylon. And the king sets before him all the kingly dishes of food, including a lot of stuff that the Jews were not supposed to eat. And he said, I can't eat that food. I've never eaten that. You know, he sets a big old platter of ham out for him or something of that nature. He says, I've never eaten pork in my life and I'm not about to eat that stuff. And he was willing to risk his life to do what he believed God wanted him to do. And as a result, you know the story there in Daniel chapter 1. God protected him and met his needs. But Daniel stood up to what was a problem. He could have very easily said, well, you know, what do? You're in a pagan land and we'll never see you home again. And, you know, everybody else is doing it, so I guess I might as well. And a lot of his other friends did that. But Daniel didn't. Daniel stood firm and did what was right. But then we find the sixth warning in the end of verse number 15, he says, and pass away, pass away. That word is an interesting word. As I looked it up, I thought, whoa, that's cool. It means to emigrate. To emigrate means to change countries, to leave the country, get out of here completely. He says, don't stick around. So as we look at this, and you think about what he is saying there, you know, he says, I don't want you to stay anywhere near here. Can you think of any Bible character when under pressure and temptation, he says, I'm out of here, and he took off and left. Joseph, exactly. Joseph was under great stress and temptation by the Potiphar's wife, and Joseph says, no way, I'm leaving, and he took off running. And that's the right thing, and that's exactly what God's telling us here. He says, we need to be aware of the wicked people that are around us. They may be deceiving us and tricking us in all sorts of kinds of ways, but he says, get out of there, avoid it. Stay away from it. And as you look down this list, he first of all says, do not enter. Then he says, do not go in there. And he says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And then escape. You know, pass away from it. There's a progression here. They start out with just a warning. Don't do it. And then he gives more instructions. Don't even get close to it. Don't walk through it. Don't do these. And he's building on this until he gets to the end. He says, you need to get out of here. Escape. Don't stick around here at all. And that is good advice when it comes to bad friends and the wrong paths. And there's a lot of wrong paths out there in life that will try to lead us astray. And you young people, my heart goes out to you. You face a lot of this at school. There's going to be a lot of wrong paths that other guys at school and girls at school are going to be doing that are going to be a wrong path that will get you into heaps of trouble if you follow that wrong path. And God says, when you see that, he says, don't enter, don't do it, don't go that way, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away from it. But then he gives us some reasons. Reasons that the wrong paths are bad, verses 16 and 17. Young people often plead with their parents, what harm is there in this path? What's wrong with it? Besides, everybody's doing it, all my friends do that, why can't I? Parent told me just the other day that, you know, their their teenager was in, you know, getting pressure from school, and this parent was trying to keep his daughter doing right, but all of her friends were, they had more liberties than he was giving her. And they, but they can do this, and they can go there, and they can wear that, and they can do all this, and why do all of them do it? What's wrong with it? And that's a very typical thing for a young person to feel like. I have to admit, I probably felt that way sometimes. It doesn't seem fair. Why can't I do what everybody else is doing? And that kind of a question gets us into a lot of trouble. As you think in the Bible, we can find a lot of examples of that answer this question. You think of Lot. What do we know about Lot? Abraham said to Lot, all right, let's not fight about the ground. You can go wherever you want, and I'll take what's left over. And Lot thought, yeah, I know where to go. Down there in the valley, look at how green it is down there near Sodom. It's green and lush. My cattle will get fat, and that'll be great. I'll be rich soon. And he headed down to Sodom, and Sodom destroyed him, and he lost everything, including his family. Destroyed his life. Another example. Do you remember Dinah? One of Jacob's daughters. Dinah went out to visit the people of the community. She went out to get to know all the girls in town. And they led her astray. And while she's there being led astray and amongst the wrong kind of a people, she ends up meeting this guy, and he leads her astray and commits immorality with her, and she gets into all kinds of trouble, and then her brothers kill all this guy's family. It ran into all kinds of problems. Why? Because she went the wrong direction. She didn't stay away from the bad people. One other example. The author of our text here tonight, Solomon. Of all people, should have known better. Solomon knew what God said about multiplying wives. God made it very clear that it was wrong for kings to multiply their wives. And yet Solomon, what did he do? 700 wives, 300 concubines. He's got, you know, he's got thousands of them. And he's disobeyed God. And you can read there in the scripture there in 1 Kings chapter 11. It says that these women led Solomon astray. They led him into idolatry, worshiping idols. And as a result, Solomon set up all these idols in Israel and shrines in Israel. And the people started worshiping those things just like his pagan wives did. And it wasn't very long until the whole nation was corrupted by the idolatry. And it all started because Solomon had all these wives that he shouldn't have had. And so the wrong friends can get us into a big pile of trouble. And so some of the reasons here, look at verse number 16. He says, they sleep not except that they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. All right, now, a couple of things he says here. First of all, wicked people love evil more than sleep. They love evil more than sleep. Darkness in the night is their prime time to cause trouble. You think about it. In the most of the crimes that take place in our community happen in the dark because they can hide in the dark easier. Now, there's a lot of crimes that do happen during the daytime, but I think we'd all agree there's a lot more problem at night. And I did a little bit of a Google search on it. What time of day is the most crime, the highest crime? They said between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. Highest crime. All right? And so They love the darkness. They cannot sleep until they've done some evil during that day. And, you know, there's more thievery and murder and wickedness done in that time than any other time of the day. And it's a prime time for gaming and pornography and gambling and immorality. And on goes the list of bad things that people do in the dark because they like it in the dark. It hides their sin. And they are sleepless until they've caused someone to stumble. Sad. But so true. They lead other people astray. They rob others of their purity and their decency and their integrity. And they harm people because they get other people involved in their sins and they rob them. John chapter 3 and verse number 19 says, and this is a condemnation that light came into is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus was the light. He came into the world, but men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so here's describing these who are the wicked people. But then also we see that in verse number 17, that they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Wicked people thrive on wickedness. They love wickedness and violence. It's like their food. They love it. They eat it up. They enjoy it. And this verse also may refer to the fact that they may gain their income or their livelihood through all these kind of wicked things. You know, there's a lot of people out there that make a lot of their money through activities like stealing and cheating and dealing drugs and corrupt payments and all kinds of corruption that takes place much of the time in the dark or in secret, because that's their life. And the wrong paths of the wicked often become very addictive. And it often traps the victims. And once on that difficult road, it's hard to get off. It's sad. I know people that have just started into drugs or alcohol or even cigarettes, and they can't get off. They try and try and they struggle and they struggle. They still can't get off because it's hard. Once they're trapped in it, that's why God says, stay away from it. If God's put a big sign up there, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not go the wrong way. It'll hurt you. It'll harm you. It'll destroy you. Don't go that way. And He gives us these reasons for it because it leads people the wrong way and it hurts people. Innocent people, you know, sometimes, this not just sometimes, there's been many times when an innocent person, and I say innocent, they're not 100% innocent, they should have known better, but a person that wasn't actually involved in a crime, he happens to be in the car when somebody in the car commits a murder or a felony of some sort. And what happens? Everybody in the car gets arrested because they're all part of the problem. You know, somebody goes and steals something and you just happen to be sitting in the car and your buddies say, let's go rob this your store, and they jump out and they rob the store and they jump back in the car and you're still sitting, and then the car gets pulled over, you get pulled over too. And then you got to try to prove that you weren't involved in it. See, this happens all the time when people are involved in things, and sort of they were innocent, but they were still involved in the wrong place because they went down the wrong path. We need to be very careful. The path of the wicked leads to wrong directions and hurts us. Then he ends up here with some comparisons, verses 18 and 19. He compares the right and the wrong paths. Verse 18, he says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is interesting. When it talks about the shining light, it's talking about the sunshine as it's coming up over the horizon in the morning. It's just a little bit of a brightness. You can see the glow starting in the sky, and you watch it come up. And as it climbs up in the sky, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until midday, and everything is as bright as it can possibly be at midday. And that's the picture he's given here. And he says, that's the path of the just. He says, the person who's doing what's right, they'll start out small with the things that they're doing for God, but if they keep doing right, they'll get better and more bright, and more, it'll be more and more pleasing to God until it reaches the zenith of the brightness of their day. I liked how Richard Wardlaw in his commentary said this. He said, we have before us the feeble glimmerings of the morning dawn, gradually brightening, dispelling, and the lingering shadows, tinging the eastern clouds in the mountaintops, till at length the risen sun pours the fullness of the gladness of light upon the earth, and thence mounts the heaven with increasing intensity and of brilliance till it reaches the meridian of his glory. This guy is an amazing commentary. He's got a great commentary on Proverbs, the best commentary I've ever read, bar none, on the book of Proverbs. It's awesome. And he goes into so much detail, and he's got so many ideas. But he expresses it in some kind of picturesque words there for us to help us to understand what's taking place there. Psalm 119:130, a verse I quoted this morning, says, the entrance into thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And here, the right path is a path of wisdom. It's a path that God instructs us and gives us wisdom and understanding. He says this is a path that will expand and grow, and you draw close to God and you follow God's path and you'll get more wisdom and more understanding, and it'll make you a better person and make you a more godly person, and it gets brighter and brighter. But the path of the wicked is just the opposite. He says the path of the wicked is darkness. It's like darkness outside. It's a dark path. It's a path that is that leads in darkness, and it lives in darkness, and it sins in darkness, and it hides in darkness. It's a path that does not end in anything that is bright. This darkness engulfs people, and it's a way of the wicked. And it, you know, it's like a raging river. And if you've ever been on a river that was anywhere near a waterfall, you've got to stay a long ways away from that waterfall. Because once you get too close to it, no matter how hard you paddle, you cannot stop yourself. That current will pull you right over the waterfall. And it's like the path of the wicked is like this raging river. And you're on that river and you think, it'll be okay, I'm strong, I know where I'm going. But then you go a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and all of a sudden the current grabs you and you can't stop. And next thing you know, over the waterfall, right into the abyss below. And the scriptures tell us that many of the ungodly, they end up in outer darkness because of their foolishness. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You know, excuse me. In that darkness, they stumble and fall. And the darkness traps them. And they stumble around trying to find a way of escape, but they can't find it because they're in the dark. Now, God has put this picture here for us. He says, on the one hand, you got the just that's in the light. And on the other hand, you have the wicked man that's in the dark. And the just man keeps getting brighter and brighter and more pleasing to God and more honoring to God. The wicked man gets more and more wicked until it pulls him into the depths of despair and destruction. Leads him in the wrong direction. And so God's given us all these pictures because He says, listen, when I put the big sign up in front of the path, do not enter. He says, it's dangerous. Don't go that way. Don't go around the sign. Don't try to enter a little bit. Don't think you're no better than the sign does. He says, stay away from it. It leads you the wrong direction. Now, every one of us here tonight, there's a wrong path out there trying to lead us in the wrong way this week. You know, you go to work, there's going to be a wrong path. Some place, direction you can go that's not right. In your walk, you can find it any place. You know, everything we do in life, there's a path that you can go on that's going to lead you astray. At school, you guys are going to face things where people are going to try to pull you the wrong direction, take you the wrong way, get you to go a direction that's not right. And we need to be careful because that wrong path, God's put a big old sign on front of us that says, do not enter, do not enter, danger. And if you go around that sign and think, I know better than that, you'll probably destroy yourself. It'll ruin your life. God says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Stay away from the wrong path. You need to do what's right. And He gives us 6 warnings about this. And He tells us the reasons behind it. And He says that these paths, they are paths of the wicked. And then He gives us these comparisons to just make sure we understand the comparison between the two. You know, now we need to ask God to cement these truths in our mind. Say, God, help me to get these. Help me to grasp these. Help me to cement it in my mind and then put it in my life. You know, it's not enough for us just to know. Yes, God says, don't go the bad way. Do the right thing. Yeah, we've heard that again and again and again and again. We've heard that lots of times. But God says, don't do that because it'll lead you astray. And so He's urging us to make the right choice. We need to not just know it in our mind, but then we need to put it into practice tomorrow morning when you head out to school, and when you head off to work, or when you're doing your shopping, or whatever you're doing in the day tomorrow. You need to put it into practice and think, I need to make sure I don't go down the wrong road. Because if I go down the wrong road, it'll ruin me. It'll hurt me. And if you've been visiting some wrong paths, and you know it deep down in your heart, you need to heed Solomon's warnings. And you need to heed them immediately, because to delay may be deadly. We need to do what's right.